This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're in the middle of a series at the moment on looking after it. And David started it a few weeks ago, talking about stewardship. And then Liz spoke about integrity and spoke about looking after time. Last week, Helen was talking about looking after our body and our health. Next week, we've got Professor Darren Evans coming to talk about looking after the earth. That'd be really good. Today, I'm looking at the subject of money. How do we look after money? You probably heard me say before, the Bible has got a lot to say about money. And I sometimes think, why is it? It's a dominating theme. There's more verses about money than there are about faith or prayer or almost any other subject. Jesus teaches about it a lot. And this is why, because our theme for the year is follow me, isn't it? And it's all about discipleship. Money is how you work out your discipleship. Simple as that. Whatever choices you make in deciding to follow Jesus, they'll be echoed loud and clear by the way you use and look after your money. So a chicken and a pig were comparing notes about the farmer's breakfast. And the pig says that he tends to like eggs and bacon for his breakfast. And the chicken says, yes, isn't it wonderful that we can make a contribution towards his happiness? And the pig says, yes, but what you're doing is making an offering. I'm making a sacrifice. Ha-ha. Sacrifices and offerings. The Bible has a lot to say about money, and the context is nearly always worship, and worship is about sacrifice and offerings. The Bible speaks a lot about money, and the language it uses is very different from our language. Our language for handling money is about power and accumulation and influence. It's about things like ownership and profit and control. Whereas the biblical language around money is about worship and offering and sacrifice and the poor and generosity and eternity. I want us to look at very quickly at a passage from the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 29, 30 to 31. Would you like to find that? This is deep in the heart of Old Testament history, of Israeli history. And it's about Hezekiah, one of the kings of Israel, a good king. And he rescued Israel by putting worship back at the center of their life, getting rid of the idols and all that. And he gathered everybody together and he said, this is how we're going to do it. And he got the choir ready and he got the food and drinks ready and he got everything ready. And he said these words, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 30. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites, that's the choir, to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph. They were the ancient psalmists, so they were using that as their songbook. So the choir and the band were praising the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph, and so they sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads and worshipped. And then Hezekiah said, you have now, and this is, he says this to everybody, to the whole assembly, you have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple, to the temple of the Lord. So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all those whose hearts willing were brought burnt offerings. Bear in mind, this is an ancient Iron Age civilization, and worship then would have revolved around a celebration of in one place with lots of food and drink and dancing and music and sacrifices and prayer and all sorts of stuff. And it also meant bringing offerings. And obviously, it was an agricultural economy at the time predominantly. So that would have been the farm produce would have been the main offering. But people would have brought some form of money or jewelry or goods or assets. And interestingly, about 600 years later, so after this, in the New Testament, Paul reflects on this and he reinterprets it. Helen alluded to this last week. He said, give your lives as living sacrifice, as an act of worship to God. Interesting. So the God who has redeemed us with the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, his son, calls us to give ourselves, our lives in worship as an offering. So today we don't sacrifice animals. We bring our lives as we worship. and as we sing and as we pray. And our offering is usually in the form of money. So if Hezekiah were making that command today, he might say something like this: "You have now decided to follow Jesus. Bring your worship and thanksgiving and prayer as we gather together online, and make your offering and sacrifice by standing order." Something like that is probably what he would have said. So as we give ourselves to Jesus, and as we are become disciples, it gets worked out in how we look after the money. This money that's in the context of worship. There are only five things you can do with money. Think of it as a pie chart with five slices, remembering that it all belongs to God anyway. Everything we have comes from him. And the bigger one slice gets, then obviously the other slices get smaller. So there's some choices in there and some thinking about how we look after God, the money that God has given us. The first one is to give. And you've heard me say this before, that there's something about God's maths, about giving first before we do the rest of our spending plan and our budgeting. For some reason, the 90% that comes afterwards seems to go further and with more joy when we sort out the giving, the tithe, the 10% or whatever the amount is first. And it's not necessarily easy. It will feel like a sacrifice. And it's not an individualistic thing. It's something that we do together. We give to a common pot. And it's part, and it's at the heart of our celebration and worship together. Now, from time to time, you need to review these things. So we have got this web page up for you. If you go to the website and you look down towards the bottom, you'll see that loaf of bread. If you click on that button, it'll take you straight through to a page which will help you with all the giving instructions. So now might be a good time, if you haven't done this for a while, to review your giving, your offering that you bring as part of the worship. It could be that through the pandemic, you've lost your job or you're in difficult financially, and therefore it's quite appropriate to rethink your giving. It could be the other way around. You could be doing very well. A lot of people are. And in which case, you might want to review it, your giving upwards. This is a good time to do it. And you can, rather than put it off and worry about standing orders and all that sort of thing, you can just click on that website now and put it into action and review your offering. So the first thing we do with money is we give. The second thing we do is we pay. We pay taxes. It's interesting. You might think it's interesting we put that there as a second thing, because taxes is a great thing. If you're paying tax, it means you've got some income, you've had a legacy, you've made a profit in your business. So as we pay our taxes out of obedience, we also say, thank you, God, for your provision. That means I need to pay a tax. The third thing that we do is we repay debt. Debt controls our life. Debt mortgages our future. So when we're thinking about how to look after our money, we repay debt as fast as we can, and we honor our debt commitments. So we give, we pay tax, we pay debt. The fourth thing that we do is we save. And this is about gratification delay. That's a whole different subject. But saving for the future does a number of things, two of which are: one is that it creates some space in your life, what the Americans call margin, so that when something goes wrong, when washing machine breaks down, or when something comes up as an opportunity you want to give to a cause or something, you have some surplus in the system, which means that you can respond without spontaneously. You don't have to worry about where it's coming from. The second thing that it does when you save is that it brings the future that God's given you into today. So what are God's purposes for you in the long haul? A simple, very practical one is most of us will aim one day to be able to stop having to work to earn a living. So we put aside money in a pension. So it's a future dream that we bring into the present by saving. And that can apply in lots of things, lots of areas of your life. So saving is a really good thing to do. The fourth thing to do. And then we get to the last one with what's left over, which might be a big amount or it might be a very, very small amount, but that is what dictates our standard of living, the way we live our life. And the problem is that most of us, certainly this is what I did when I came out of college, I had a standard of living, a lifestyle in mind, and I went out spending on it. And then I looked at the other four parts and I thought, I'm running out of dosh. People do that the wrong way around. So we start with giving. We pay our taxes. We repay debt. We save for the future. And then what's left over gives us the space to work out what God, how God wants us to live and our lifestyle. So you'll see that giving in itself isn't particularly a spiritual decision any more than the others are. Every spending decision is a spiritual decision. They all impact on what God has given you and the way you're going to use them all. So Hezekiah said, what did he say? He said, you have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. Our holy God has saved us, and he's given us so much to bless us. Let us join together in worship, in thanksgiving, and making our offerings. And may the way we look after our money be a testimony to our discipleship. Let's pray into that for a moment, shall we? Let's turn to a time of prayer ministry. I'm hoping that Alison might join me shortly from somewhere, and we'll get to pray together. I think one of the things I'd like us to pray about, first of all, is to do with this money thing, and it's to do with it's almost like we pray for healing, don't we? A lot. We're very happy praying for healing. And someone is part of our theology. We believe that God wants to make people well, and that illness and death is not in his plan. And I think the same applies to money, that we can pray for financial blessing. We can pray for people to help people get out of debt or get out of financial difficulty. I think it's part of sotso, which is the saving word that we pray for. We pray for his wholeness and his completion and for salvation in its complete sense. And it's not just physical healing. It's also dealing with finances and relationships. And here comes Alison creeping in the side.
Hello.
So I want to pray for those of you who are in financial difficulty. And we want to pray for you in the same way that we pray for healing, for God's intervention in your life. So why don't those of you who are in good form financially, pray for those who aren't. For those of you who are struggling with debt or haven't got enough income, just put your hands out and allow us to pray a prayer of blessing. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is not an earning favor with God in the form of cash. It's nothing like that. This is part of wholeness, as in the same way that we're praying for physical healing and mental healing, health healing. Lord, I ask you to come with your healing power, with your wholeness that you offer us, the shalom, the peace, the goodness of life that you want to give us, the abundance of life. And I pray for those who are struggling now, either in debt or just through lack of cash, lack of income. It could be poor decisions. It could be commitments that they shouldn't have. Lord, you're gracious and you're merciful. I pray that you will come and help us sort that out. And as we reach out to you and ask for your help, we ask you to open the coffers of heaven, open the treasure and the storehouses, and bless the people. Bless your people.
Let's just spend a minute just inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually about those situations. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and to just speak to each person who's responding to what David was saying and what he was praying. And as David talked about wholeness, it's just like this, that Emmental cheese, I think it is, that's holy. It's like got holes in it, lots of holes, different size holes in it. And I just saw people who felt they had holes in them. They weren't complete. There were gaps and holes, and maybe just literally mere money holes. But Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come now.
Yeah.
Just meet people where they are. in their need, in their in the things that they, in the deficits, in the things that they feel they are lacking, that create holes either in their material circumstances or in their interior. And just as Joss's verse said at the beginning, the one that she prayed and spoke over us, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. And the sense is, it's not blessed is the one who has a great outcome and God gives them everything they want. It's blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have confidence in him. So we just pray for a huge strengthening of trust in you, Lord, and confidence in you, whatever the circumstances. And we just pray that you pour out your blessing on people whose posture is to trust, even in the most challenging of circumstances.
For some of you, just talking about this subject is always associated with shame or guilt. There's lots of scope for that, and the enemy can do all sorts of work in your head and your heart with that. And if that's you, then invite the Holy Spirit into that whole thing, because he's got forgiveness and mercy for that, and grace to set you free. So that money becomes something that you can steward for God gladly and joyfully, not something that burdens you and controls you. So Lord, I pray for anybody who is, that shame thing is right on them now. I can see it like a dark cloak. And I just, Lord, I ask you just to come and pull that off and bring people into the light of your presence. And may you've given us everything so that we may not be shamed. Would you come with your grace and show us a better way? And we break the power of the enemy to induce guilt and shame over people. Amen. Mm-hmm.